actually had something else completely planned. And Thursday night and Friday night, I just couldn't sleep until I recognised that God was saying, you need to take what you've got and just change it all. So last night, I was in Cardiff all day yesterday at the rugby, and God didn't let the Springboks win, which saved my voice. So last night, I had to basically rewrite everything. This morning's going to look messy because I'm a messy person, and I don't fully know everything I'm saying. So just run with me. This isn't going to look like anything else that you're going to probably see on this series. And just to echo something that Hannah said the other week, is I'm not a teacher. I am someone who just carries this stuff in my heart and just feels that God says, just say that and just put that out there and leave that with someone. So some of this may offend some of you, some of this may not sit right with you, but I thank you in advance for your grace. I'm going to be focusing on Psalm 23. Although I did talk with the idea of doing all 150 Psalms and seeing how we got on with that. But apparently I've only got about 20 minutes. So we'll just look at Psalm 23 because that's my favourite. I'm not going to do the Dean Haycock thing and talk about how it's all to do with West Bromwich Albion and stuff. Next slide. It doesn't show. All right, so you can just about see in the middle. The West Bromwich Albion have the words of Psalm 23 up around the stadium. West Bromwich Albion, for those of you who don't know, God's favourite football team. They are the highest in altitude, so God supports his local team. However, it's just the West Bromwich Albion thing that they sing Psalm 23 quite a lot. So, but Dean always bangs on about it. He plays these really grainy videos of the Albion fans singing it. I'm not going anywhere near that today. I'm just going to read it out to you. If you're able to stand, just stand with me while I read this over you. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're welcome to take a seat. I'm going to probably not go too much into a lot of detail on that today, but God has kind of took me on a bit of a journey with some stuff to bring. And what I love about Psalm 23 is, to me, echoes so much of the reality of the grace that God promises for us through the cross. And it was written a long time before Jesus was walking with us. So I just think it's such a beautiful passage. So I've got three little things that I think God is wanting me to try and communicate as best as I can. But I'm not going to try and use my words. I'm going to try and use his. So if I stop or anything, don't panic. I'm just stopping because I can sometimes take over. The first thing is, God wants you to stop being just a Sunday morning Christian. If I can have the next picture up. As a child, if you'd have asked me what I wanted to do as a job, you know, I remember times in school where my mates wanted to be firemen, or they wanted to be policemen or footballers or this. I always wanted to be a sheep farmer. And don't take this the wrong way. I know some of you got filthy minds. I love sheep. I think they're really, really cool animals. I love roast lamb. Oh, man. Love sheep. Love sheepdogs. Love mountains. I love that whole outdoorsy stuff. And this is a picture of my old dog, Ben. He was a Welsh sheepdog. And that was a day that he and I went for a walk in the Scottish Highlands. And I had Ben for 15 years until he died from a combination of old age and arthritis and cancer as well. But he was my sheepdog. He was absolutely awesome. He used to round me up when we used to go for a walk. And he was still alive when Jen and I got married. So when we were taken for a walk, he'd just run round in circles around us. And she threw the stick for him because he likes to play stick. He wouldn't run directly to it. He'd run around and then back around. And everything about him was a sheepdog, except he was never trained to actually round up sheep, which was a shame. But he was born on a farm in Wales. He was the runt of the litter, so he was really small and very, very ill for most of his life. But he was rescued at, I think it was at 6 weeks old, and he came to live with us at 8 weeks old. And because I was at school most of the time, I just got to spend most of my evenings just kind of like playing with him and stuff. So we kind of had a real special friendship. But shepherds, I mean, we talk about having full-time jobs. There are sheep farmers around the world that don't get to kind of stop on a Saturday or Sunday. It's a full-time job. It's 7 days a week. It's early mornings in lambing season. It's, you know, sheep are creatures that need constant care, constant protection. God never stops walking alongside us. And I think for some of you, there's an element where you feel sometimes that maybe you're walking alone through something, and God never stops walking alongside you at all. The reality is so much of what aspects of the Bible point to is that we are sheep. We're often seen as frail, helpless, and always being hunted down by the enemy. But actually, God is constantly there watching over us as a shepherd. If we could have the next slide, please. Just going to pause in here. I'm going to use some photos today from a guy called Ian Lawson, who's a photographer from Cumbria. And he did a book a couple of years ago called Herdwick, where he went into Wastdale Head, which is the foot of Scarfell Pike, which is the bottom of the mountain on the right, and he photographed the shepherds working in there, and they're the most beautiful photos I think I've ever seen. But the book's £135, and it's a book I'd really like, but I can't afford it. So if anyone's feeling really generous, Christmas is coming up. It's called Herdwick, Ian Lawson. It's available through his website. Or if you have a whip round, maybe £2 each, buy me a book. So anyway, so some of the photos I'll use, if moving forward, apart from my own, will be this guy's photos. So God's constantly with us. God's constantly can see all of us. He knows where we are. He guides us into places and he takes us. And sometimes you don't know he's there. I can imagine these sheep at the very front of this photo don't particularly know that their main man is at the back with his dog and just keeping an eye on everything and making sure it's all okay. And if we can understand that, and if we can start to grasp that concept that God is constantly with us, then actually how much more powerful is that when we take that out to people who we're trying to reach in the name of God? If we can let that start to shape who we are and what we're doing and how we view life each day, then actually it should start to change not just our actions in the outward, but also our inner hearts. I felt God give me as part of this, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And he's such a faithful God that the second little thing I wanted to bring was a shepherd knows all of his sheep by name. If we can just have the next photo. I went to Cader Idris last May and really sort the brightness out. For those of you who can't see, at the bottom of the picture is my little tent. Well, my dad's little tent. I had to borrow it. And that mountain rising up behind you is Cader Idris. And I went over on my own and I needed just some time just to go in ahead of Transform, just to get my head in the right place and listen to what God was saying. And I stayed on a farm not far out of, it's by a place called Minford. And it's one of these places where you can just rock up, put your tent up, and it's £5 per person per night. So it's really cheap, very basic facilities. And Ian Costello breeds in me bad habits, so I don't like to get up at 8 o'clock and walk up the mountain. I like to get up at 3:30 and try and get up before the sun rises. So I drove up on the Friday night, pitched the tent. Saturday night, I was up at 3:30, 4 a.m. I left the tent and walked by head torch for about 2 hours until the sun started to rise up. Yes, Garland boot. Can everyone see that a bit clearer now? So I started walking up the mountain and I got to the top of the ridge. You can just see in the background about 6 a.m. and there was really low clouds. So I ended up coming back down the mountain and I sat by a lake, which is in the seat of the mountain for about an hour and a half, and then came out to the tent. And the farmer came to me when it was about 10 o'clock. I was just packing the car up. I was going to go and find him so I could pay him. And he came over to me and he said, was it you who went out at 4 o'clock this morning? And I was like, oh, I didn't expect anyone to be awake. And he said, yeah. He says, I was up at 3:30 every morning. I'm up at 3:30 to start the day. And he said, I guessed it was you because everyone else is here in couples and groups. And he says, and you're the only person on your own. And I just saw this lone head torch. And we started chatting and, of course, instantly, I'm like, this man has my dream job. Whereas for like a lot of children, they're like, this guy's a fireman. I want to know all about fires. I'm like, this guy's a sheep farmer. I could maybe convince him to take me on and let me ride the quad bikes and stroke the dogs and all that kind of stuff. So we started chatting and he was saying that his land is basically the side of, it's this edge of this mountain, basically. And over the back of this ridge, there's a dip and a bit of a plateau. And this side of it is just a really steep valley. It's probably about a mile and a half, 2 miles long. And I asked him about the quad bikes, and he said he doesn't have any because the land's too steep to use them on. So I said, so how do you get all your sheep? And he said, well, I've got two dogs. And he said, there's three of us that work here. And he says, generally, we know all the sheep. We know which lambs belong with which mothers, and they know us. And they literally, I don't know if you can see it, there's some trees in the middle of the picture. They just walk up the gully, and they walk around the back. And as they walk, the sheep just see them and know that it's time to come back in. So they walk all the way up to the top of the valley and then down the valley into the sheds. And he says, because they just know the farmers, because they know who they are and they know the dogs, they just follow. And I was like, that is the coolest thing. And he did actually say to me, if ever you're here when we're doing it, you're welcome to come with us. So I was like, maybe every weekend, I just need to be there until it happens. But it takes them 9 hours to do the walk. And but he said, yeah, he said, the sheep recognise us and the farm workers. He says, but I know each and every sheep, and I know which lamb belongs to which mother. I know which of the ewes are friends and which ones don't quite like each other. And he says, if I can see one of the lambs going over to the wrong little group of ewes, I know that I can just go and pull it back. And the lambs trust him that he can walk up to them and just pick them up, and the mothers are cool. And it spoke so much to me about how actually God sees us. He knows all of us. He knows where you belong and he knows where you don't belong. He knows each and every one of you by name. He knows your likes and your dislikes. And he knows exactly what to do when it's a case of bringing you in. He knows where to find you. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And Matthew 10:30 says, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. And my final thing, where's Joe gone? Come on, Joe, it's time. Sheep need to be within a flock. If we can have the next picture. We can't do this life alone. And it's a case of firstly making sure we're part of a flock, a group, a community, and not alienating ourselves and trying to say, actually, no, I can do this all on my own. But it's a case of, as well as looking around us and pulling people in. Sheep don't like to be alone. They will always run back to another group of sheep. They'll always hang out in groups because they know that actually when they're in a group, they've got other sheep just watching their back. That's why they're constantly bleating at each other. It's just that constant reassurance that there are people around, that they're around, and there people around, sheep are around, and they're there for each other. In Matthew 22, the Pharisees actually challenged Jesus. One of their religious scholars spoke up for them, posing a question that they hoped would show him up. Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list, but there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs, and everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. If you could have the next picture. God calls us to go out and love our neighbours. In a week where Donald Trump has retweeted videos which are designed to draw just massive lines for our society and say that actually, you know, there's this and there's that, and we're two separate groups, and this is the reality. God says, no. You go out and you love these people. Our neighbours are our neighbours, irrelevant of skin colour, political persuasion, language, nationality, sexuality. Whatever label you want to place on someone, God's saying, I don't care, just go and love them. I made them in my image. It doesn't matter what language they're speaking. Can I just say that the fact we've got Polish guys in here, really, I just love it. I fell in love with Poland at the age of 14 years old. I've been there 5 times. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been to. And actually, there's a reality where I was invited to a stag do there last year and I couldn't go. One of the reasons I didn't want to go is because I don't want to see British people ruin such a beautiful place. So the Polish guys are here. You're so welcome here. I'm even going to try and speak Polish for you. Cześć, nazywam się Greg. Jestem Anglikiem. Kielbasa proszę. Dziękuję. Dobre nuts. That's the extent of what you're getting from me, but Hopefully, if that makes you feel a little bit more welcome, then that's cool. And if you're German, we'll go German, and then that's the end of my languages. No, I'm joking. But actually, there's an element where if those guys hadn't been made to feel welcome in here, they wouldn't still be here. And actually, all the rest of us should be trying to learn Polish so that when they come in the morning, we're not just going, good morning, we should be going, dobry zenia. How's that pronunciation? Is that all right? Oh, yeah, like that, as you know. But we should be reaching out for these people and we should be saying, actually, you are welcome here. If someone walks in here who's pro-Trump, whether you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump, welcome. If you're pro-Brexit or anti-Brexit, welcome. If you love Theresa May or you don't, you're welcome here. If you speak English or Polish or Urdu or Hindi or French or German or whatever, you're welcome here. You are chosen and you are chosen and you are chosen and you are chosen. If I could just have the last slide. Luke 15. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost until you found it? When found, you can be sure that you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, called in your friends and neighbours, saying, celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep. Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over the other 99 good people in no need of rescue. I went through a period in my life where I was that one sheep. I've been that sheep that wasn't part of the flock. I've been the sheep that was just a Sunday morning Christian. And I've been the sheep that questioned whether God ever knew my name. And amazingly, some of those times have probably been a lot more recent than you'd probably like to imagine. For some of you, I think if you stopped and thought, some of what God's trying to say to you this morning through this and through what Ben has brought as well, and even what some of our young people have brought, maybe carries quite heavy. God's pursuing you. He's pursuing the people in your life around you, and he's pursuing the people in their lives around them. And you've got, quite simply, a choice to make. Do we just walk out of here and pretend that actually it's Monday tomorrow, so we can go back to our old lifestyles and we can just get through the week and then turn up here again next Sunday and put on our Christian brave faces and go through this rigmarole again? Or do we actually say, no. I really want to tap into what God's calling out of me now. I want to feel him walk alongside me. I want to get involved with the community he's placing around me. And actually, there's people that he's put in my vision that I know aren't a part of what I'm a part of, and I'm going to grab them, I'm going to pull them in through the front door and say, doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing in life, I just want to love you because I'm loved by a God who loves me. God doesn't call us to get people saved. God calls us just to plant his seeds, and he'll do the rest of the work. I just want to read Psalm 23 over you again, and then I think we're going to go into a bit more worship. But I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation. Emily Harland read this to me about 2 years ago, and it's already a passage of the Bible that chokes me up sometimes. And she read this to me, and I was like, wow. I'm not going to ask you to stand up now like we did at the start. But if you want to receive this, if anything that God's brought this morning is just doing something inside of you, you're welcome to stand with me as I read this and just receive it. Just feel the word, just feel God just whispering it over your life. And it might be that you stand up now, it might be you stand up as I'm part way through it, but don't waste this opportunity. Don't leave here wondering, oh, I should have stood up, or I should have just got prayed with by someone. God is my fierce protector and my pastor. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to the quiet brooks of bliss and the oasis of peace. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the pathways to God's pleasure, leading me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honour to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For I'm being pursued only by your goodness and unfailing love. And then afterwards, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. To read that again. God is my fierce protector and my pastor. I always have more than enough, and he offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to the quiet brooks of bliss and the oasis of peace. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the pathways to God's pleasure, leading me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honour to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows, so why would I fear the future? For I'm being pursued only by your goodness and unfailing love. And then afterwards, when my life is free, I'll return to your glorious presence to forever be with you. Father, we thank you that you are the faithful shepherd and that your word is true, your word is so secure, and that you'll never leave us, your faithfulness will never let us down. And where you've spoken this morning, God, I just ask that you would start to, that the words not be empty upon people's ears, but actually that we'd start to change in our own hearts. We'd start to feel you move within our own lives and see your Holy Spirit start to move things in and around us. Let us not walk out of here and just go back to the everyday. Let us not walk out of here and just pretend that nothing's gone on in here. That actually, God, that the testimony of what Walsall Community Church does, it's one that's going to change lives of people who don't expect it. It's not just about this church, God, it's about us as people just getting out there and saying, God, God has so much in plan, in store for everybody. Jesus, just be with us as we go today.